Welcome to the HB5 podcast, where we talk about co-working, productivity, and building your future lifestyle. This is episode 8 for January 18th, 2016. And I am remote today. This is Shrop. And we've got in the studio Dieter.
Hey.
Jay.
Hello.
And Tecto.
Hey now.
Hope everybody's doing well back in Concord.
We're missing us some Shrop here in the studio.
Yeah, it's appropriately cold. You've left town and the weather's unhappy.
Oh, that was sweet.
Yeah, it's cold here also.
It sounds like you're getting some snow. We had some snow this morning, but it did not stick.
I think it was 20 minutes of snow.
Yeah, 20 minutes of furious snow that didn't go anywhere or do anything.
Hey, at least we had some there.
Yeah.
It's a really good band, by the way.
20 minutes of snow.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fantastic. Second album.
Sounds like an episode, you know, slogan, title, whatever.
Marker.
Yeah, marker. All right. So actually today we're talking about your data and
yours specifically.
Yeah. Yours specifically. You the listener. Yeah. You know who you are. The one who's not backing up any of your things. You've got this guilty feeling deep inside that you should do something about that.
This is where the healing begins.
Yeah. We're talking to you.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think there was a great quote to kick off our internal show notes. If your data does not exist in three places, it may as well not exist at all.
Fact.
Yes. And there are all kinds of ways we can expand on that. One of them, I think, is kind of right out the gate that you could say if your data does not exist in three separate geographical places, it's close to equally true. You ought to be at least in the range of two.
Physical places.
Yes. You have a fire. You have a significant other who gets mad and starts smashing all your electronics. Who knows? You can still lose everything, even if you have a couple or three copies all in one place. So, there are a couple other markers I'd throw out, kind of along those lines. Clones are not backups. And, one of the really helpful techniques out there in the backup space is to clone your internal hard drive, especially on the Mac. There are some really good tools like SuperDuper and Carbon Copy Cloner that lets you create a clone drive. And a clone drive is really helpful for a situation where you have a drive failure and you need to be able to boot off an identical copy of that drive and get right back to work while you're replacing the dead drive. But it's not a backup. So every time it clones, you can kind of assume that, especially by default, a lot of times that files that you deleted on your primary hard drive are going to be gone from your clone. And so backups are completely separate. They let you go back in time. And then one of the other common issues that comes up is archives. And archives are not magically backed up. A lot of people will take old files, old projects for customers, whatever the case might be, copy them off onto a single archive drive, stick that archive drive up on the shelf, and then 2-3 years later need to get something back off that archive drive. And it was the only copy of the data, and that drive is dead. And suddenly, they're in a world of hurt. So archives are not magically backed up. It's the same situation. If you don't have three copies, you're very vulnerable.
Or you copied it onto, say, a zip disk.
Oh, my.
and now you can't find a zip drive. That's right. Yep. Yeah. For love or money.
Yes. Well, and if you find one, it probably clicks. Click. Yeah.
I think you're confusing that with a jazz drive.
No. Well, I might be. The zip
drive was the one that was fairly reliable, but only 100 megabytes. The jazz drive was the one that basically just started getting head read errors out of the box, like $200 a disk.
I don't think you used the zip drive long enough. It also started having reliability issues.
Perhaps. I would not be surprised.
I had lots of them.
Yeah. I don't doubt that.
So the most successful backup strategies require you to do basically nothing.
As little as possible.
Yes. It's the closer you can get to set it and forget it, the more likely you are to actually have a backup. If you depend on yourself or somebody else to manually rotate media or go start the backup or anything like that, you can guarantee that backup is going to be inconsistent, if not completely worthless. And that's without even getting into best practices around, let's say, testing your backups occasionally by trying to restore some files and see if it even works. And so in a similar way, the best backup strategies will do automatic testing for you and make sure that the backup is good and not force you to have to restore in order to verify that it worked.
That's true. Anytime you're trying out a new to you strategy, you should absolutely test your restoration or test a restore for exactly that reason. Like, great, if you have it all backed up and you don't understand how to restore it, that's a problem.
Absolutely.
So I would even say make sure that you back up or that you check your backups and test them periodically too, because there's many situations where, you know, backups are tested initially and everybody thinks it's fine, and then a year down the road when you actually need it, you realize some configuration or something happened and either the backups are corrupt or maybe they weren't running and they look like they were running. So it's good to test every now and then, just make sure you can back something up.
Well, and that's actually one of my evaluation criteria for a backup is, or backup method, is whether or not it automatically tests or verifies data transfer is and the data backed up is in a restorable format as part of every backup. Because if it doesn't, then yes, you're back to, you need to be checking it periodically and making sure that it's working.
My solution for that is to just occasionally and accidentally delete large chunks of my iTunes library and then go, oh, crap, I need to pull that out of my backup, and it works. It's good.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to, say, deleting a bunch of customer files.
No, customer files are fine. Oh, okay. I'm careful with those.
All right. So working questions that you come up, are your backups on-site or off-site? Are they on attached devices, or are you pushing data out to some kind of cloud backup? And are you creating bootable clones? Why or why not? And then some of the differences between backup and replication. So I think I'll speak to kind of real quick strokes my own backup strategy in a laptop world. You have an internal drive of some sort on pretty much any laptops, usually one drive. And if that drive fails, my favorite strategy is to have a USB external hard drive, typically something that's about double the size. So if it's 1 tera internal, I'm going to buy a 2 tera external. And I'll split it in half, and I'll have one partition that is set up as a bootable clone. So that might be something with a carbon copy cloner probably. And then the other half I will dedicate to Time Machine. Time Machine is built into macOS 10. By the way, I don't use Windows for the most part, so I have no parallel to offer. But I'm sure they're out there. That one drive then becomes a physical copy that I will typically have on me. And then I'll do it again. I'll have an identical drive. So there's two of these that I'll keep typically at home. And anytime that I'm at a desk at home, I'll connect my laptop up to that drive and let it run another backup. So between those two, I'm shooting for once a week, once every other week, to connect the drive up and let it run a backup and a clone, so that and both of those, by the way, are opportunistic. So Time Machine and Carbon Copy Cloner can kick off a backup and a clone anytime you connect up the drive if you set them up that way. So it leaves me alone when the drive's not there, but if the drive shows up, it runs a backup and a clone.
So the difference between backup and clone is what?
Excellent question. A clone is an exact copy. So if I deleted a file on my laptop, the next time I clone that drive, the clone will also have that file deleted. But a backup, on the other hand, keeps snapshot points in time. So if I delete a file today, I can go to the backup and restore it because it was on the drive the last time that I backed it up.
And you can go back in time, in the Time Machine at least,
right,
go back in time to a previous time where it did exist if it had been deleted.
Yeah, and gotcha. In a lot of cases, you can even look at revision. So points in time are what the file looked like at this point in time. If you've got a project you've been working on for a month or two, you might need to go back to a version that was 2 weeks ago, or a month or whatever. And that's the advantage of backup, is you go back to particular points in time as opposed to a clone. Clone just gives you something that if the internal drive fails, all of your operating system, all your applications, all your settings, everything is there, and you could potentially boot off that clone and get right back to work. Usually when you set up a backup, you will only back up your home directory, your working files. So you're never going to boot off of a backup that has just your data.
Gotcha. Thank you.
But I would say that having a clone, while it's not a backup with revisions, it can be a functional backup.
If you
have a failure, and that winds up being a place where you can quickly get a file back off of you know, in an emergency, it's another point. You just don't want to depend on a clone. And I think that's a mistake people make, is that they'll say, well, I've got a clone and that's good enough. And that is absolutely not good enough.
No, it's not. And I think the other issue there is that an external drive does still have that human dynamic where you're relying on yourself to plug that drive in occasionally and to remember to plug that drive in. And it's fine from a clone perspective because typically your operating system and applications don't change so rapidly that if you had to fall back a month or two, if you weren't keeping up, that it'd be the end of the world. But having to go back a month on your actual work in progress would be devastating in many cases. And so that leads to what can you use for backing up on a more timely basis that's automatic, doesn't rely on you to connect up an external drive, and just happens.
Enter the cloud.
Yes, and the right application in the cloud. So one of the things we haven't touched on is how do you secure your backups? And so one other piece I would add is on external drives like the ones I've mentioned, part of my setup is to format it with an encrypted file system so that when I connect up the drives, I've stored the key, you know, I'll generate a random password for the drive or the drive partitions, and I'll store those passwords in the operating system so that anytime I connect up the drive to that one computer, it'll mount automatically. But if you were to try to connect it anywhere else, you'd have to know the password. Well, that's great for things that I totally control. But as soon as I push data into the cloud, if it's if I haven't thought through the encryption plan for that data, it's very likely that I could be pushing up my financials, I could be pushing up personal correspondence, customer files, any number of things that I really don't want to be general access. And if my cloud provider gets hacked, that data could be wide open. So there are so many cloud backup platforms or solutions that picking the right one and understanding the implications of picking the right one is a pretty critical but involved task.
Well, I personally picked CrashPlan for largely those very reasons. CrashPlan, my number one knock against it is that it is a Java-based application on all platforms, so it looks like a pile of armpits.
Yes, so but it works on all platforms.
Right? But it works on all
platforms. Code 42, anytime you want to get off of Java, we're rooting for you.
We encourage the crap out of that.
And it's not so much how it looks, but it's also
it's heavy.
Plus it is, memory consumption is insane. Yeah.
Yes.
But it is very reliable.
It's exceedingly reliable. And in fact, that one time that I did accidentally delete my iTunes, part of my iTunes library, it was CrashPlan that allowed me to pull it back. The great thing about CrashPlan is that they support end-to-end encryption and you can generate your own key for it, which is hugely important for my peace of mind.
So the average user install software in a lot of cases never looks through all the settings and just does just enough to get it working. And so if you're using Backblaze or I don't know, some of the others that are out there today, these companies come and go. Carbonite's another one I think that's still active. Yeah. A lot of times those applications have very limited settings. You tell it, what folders you want to back up and that's pretty much it. It gets busy. CrashPlan, you still have to go into settings and use the advanced settings area to choose a private key. It's an option. It is not done for you by default, but it is an option that's not available in most cases. And so it allows you to create a 448-bit Blowfish encryption key. And securing that key is a whole other topic, but that key doesn't have to be backed up. And CrashPlan, or at least on CrashPlan doesn't ever have to have access to it, which means that the data that's sitting on the CrashPlan servers up in, I think it's Minneapolis, something like that, where their primary data center is effectively worthless to them outside of giving it back to you for you to decrypt. So if they get a subpoena, they get a national security letter, they get hacked, whatever the case might be, that data is inaccessible. And that's a huge benefit to using them. One of the other things I would point to from a why I like CrashPlan perspective is that it allows peer-to-peer backups. So if you have a network of friends that are all using CrashPlan and you've got some extra storage, you can enable your friends to back up to an external drive on a computer you have set up at home, let's say, and vice versa. And so there is a less expensive route than signing up for CrashPlan Central, their cloud service. And it also gives you a way to have more than one geographical location. So in my case, I back up to CrashPlan Central, and I use CrashPlan to back up to a local external drive along with a clone and a time machine. Slightly paranoid. And I've also set up a swap with a friend. I actually a very large external drive or device, Drobo, and he backs up to my Drobo. I back up to his Drobo across the internet, and I have, because of that, get another remote location. So he can't access my data. It's all encrypted locally before it's sent, and vice versa. But that one option is a huge benefit for CrashPlan.
So that's the if one guy gets hit by a bus and also has the decryption key scenario. You got that covered.
Well, I'm not sharing my decryption key outside of, you know, family, but it does mean that if there were a fire in one location, or a hardware failure and a fire in two separate locations, there's still another backup. And I've actually had a client who I was helping out with backups. This was, I guess, maybe 10 years ago. And she had somewhere around 6 terabytes of data. It was about 15 years of client files. And at that point, I was not sufficiently paranoid. I did not have this, if it doesn't exist in three places, understanding. I was holding the line at 2. And I had a complete failure of the offsite device with all the backups. It was 6 terabytes of data being backed up across the internet. And I rebuilt it, got it running again. I got about 200 gigs of these nearly 6 terabytes backed up. And we had a dual drive failure in an array on the primary, and ended up expending immense amounts of money with drive recovery services trying to reconstruct her data. And over the course of that, actually had enough failure that we never recovered any of it. It was an absolute catastrophe. So I don't recommend that situation.
Would you call that one of life's little lessons?
I would call that one of life's major lessons. I would say that devastated a relationship that I valued. Completely lost, not just the client relationship, I completely lost the personal relationship. Somebody I respected, admired, and I deeply regret losing that relationship, but I totally understand. There's nothing but negative associations on her part.
Yep. It sucks.
Yes,
it did. That has nothing to do with interpersonal stuff. That all has to do with technology decisions and the impact of those.
Correct. It was a very, very difficult time for her. I know she's still in business, has made, you know, way forward, but it was incredibly challenging, and I know she feels that pain every day. So that was quite the downer. Nonetheless, something like CrashPlan is a key part of never ending up in that situation again for me. We've already mentioned Backblaze and Carbonite as a couple of the competitors. Backblaze is phenomenally inexpensive for what they offer. They just don't quite have the same breadth of capabilities. So if I had to fall back, I would probably be looking most seriously at Backblaze.
Yeah, I agree on Backblaze. They do allow you to make a passphrase for the private key that they generate, so you can at least have some level of control over the encryption that they don't have. But it's still not exactly the same setup as CrashPlan. I think CrashPlan's got the most secure encryption setup if you do the full, you know, you generate your own private key and passphrase combo. But it's still good to see that they let you generate a passphrase in Backblaze. And Backblaze has native applications.
Yes, so which is a leg up over CrashPlan.
Native application? Oh, you mean like written in...
Right, so the Mac OS
whatever
client is actually written for Mac OS X as opposed to a job or an app with a wrapper.
Gotcha. That's nice.
Yeah, and CrashPlan supposedly, they have plans to make native Mac app. I remember hearing this somewhere, so I think it's either in the works or it's in the roadmaps. I just don't know any kind of timeline, that sort of thing.
So one of the other things then to kind of come back to archives specifically. Archives, a lot of times I see, especially freelancers that I've worked with, end up with archives as being kind of in a memory hole. They don't, it's like the brain turns off when it comes to archives and backups and not connecting the dots. So a backup is a duplicate copy of your data to make sure that if your primary copy dies, ideally you have two backups, that gives you three copies. But as soon as you copy files onto an archive and remove them from your, you know, let's say your live environment, you're down to one copy. And so one of the recurring conversations that I've had with freelancers is the need to actually purchase two archive drives anytime that you're creating another, you run out of space on your first archive or second archive set, get another archive set. And so you might have like archive drive 1-1 and archive drive 1-2, and you use something like Carbon Copy Cloner to clone the two of them. So archive 1-1 would be your primary. You have Carbon Copy Cloner on a desktop computer, let's say, cloning regularly to the other. Either one dies, you've got a copy, and then you should still be using something like CrashPlan to do an offsite backup of your primary archive drive. And as soon as you go to another set, you set it up the exact same way. You dupe the archive and you add it to CrashPlan so that it's being pushed offsite. It is back to, you know, my horrible situation with the client. It is a absolute necessity to treat archives in many cases as incredibly valuable, because you go back to old work for a client, you know, client reorders something, they want a variation on previous project, whatever the case might be, and then you have an archive drive failure and you're out of luck.
I did want to mention, I think you mentioned this, Tecto, that you've got several different backup layers going on, but the ones that I've selected are similar. I'm using a CrashPlan for my offsite. And so I'm backing up about five machines total to CrashPlan, and that's only to the cloud world. I am also doing a bootable clone of one machine, my main machine, which would get me back and going. So it's like we said, it's not a backup, but it's a backup in a sense that I can go to the Mac store, the Apple store, I guess, and buy a machine and be up and running pretty quick. Or just boot from on another Mac, because the Mac.
Right, it's a clone, yeah. And again, I think a clone is the right term to differentiate between backups, and a clone is like a limited one single point in time backup. It's you just can't go any further back in time than that last clone operation.
It's like a single but usable snapshot.
Correct,
and it's only as old as the last time you made a clone.
Correct. It's hugely advantageous from I've got hard deadlines, my machine just failed, and I've got to get right back to work. It has saved me too many times to count, actually, at this point, but it will not save you from a corrupt file that you didn't realize was corrupt till a month later, and it's no longer on your clone either.
So say you're that person who has not yet started a good backup protocol. What's the first step you should take?
I think the very first step is size your external drive for clone and local backup. And again, I roughly double internal storage and get two of them. And have one on you in the backpack. Let's say you're a digital nomad, and have another one sitting at home or somewhere that you work at a desk regularly. And get Carbon Copy Cloner set up to a partition on half of it, and something like Time Machine or CrashPlan. CrashPlan can do backups to, CrashPlan Client, by the way, is free for this. CrashPlan Client can do backups to a local drive and is competitive to Time Machine as far as how well it does that for point in time backups. So get that going immediately. And you can do that without CrashPlan, just do Time Machine and something like Carbon Copy Cloner. The next thing I would be looking at is CrashPlan Central. CrashPlan Central has a longer uptake because, let's say you have, 500 gigs of music and files, et cetera, that you need to back up. Most of us have a asynchronous internet connection. You might have 50 megabits down and 5 megabits up if you're on a fairly fast, cable modem setup. That 5 megabits up is your limiting factor. It could take you months to get a backup off, pushed all the way to CrashPlan on 500 gigs of data. So don't wait months. Get a local backup going immediately with some drives. Have one on you and one, you know, stored at your house or something like that. So you're doing something that covers all of your data pretty quickly, and then follow that up with a cloud-based. The great thing about CrashPlan is that once your backup completes, you're working on a file, you save it, about an hour tops later, CrashPlan kicks in and says, okay, this file has changed and it's been static for about an hour. I'm gonna back it up. And it will actually compare to the previous version. It'll back up just the changed areas, the changed blocks. It will compress those blocks, encrypt those blocks, and push them up. And now you have another point in time backup in the cloud. And so it is very effective for the set it and forget it scenario. Once it completes your initial full push of all your data, it just keeps up automatically.
Yep. And like a Western Digital My Book physical hard drive is about $100 at a Best Buy or on Amazon. It's pretty cheap. That's for a 2 terabyte drive, and
very reasonable.
Goes up from there, you know, $20 for another 2 terabyte, something like that.
Well, and so on a personal side, you look at it, okay, used to be decades ago, you took pictures and you took the film in and got processed and you got prints back. And unless there was a fire, you probably had those. But now a drive fails or a phone fails, and a lot of people lose years of irreplaceable photos.
Yep.
A $100 2 terabyte hard drive by two, but let's say $200 for two of them. And that's even a little exorbitant. I think they're much lower than that in a lot of cases now, but $200 for peace of mind. I can't tell you how stressed out I've seen some of my friends get when they're trying to explain to their wives what happened
to the baby photo.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Goodness. Please save me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes I can, and sometimes I can't.
So this is not about the seeking of pleasure. This is about the avoidance of pain.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Until you're in that situation, it is hard to explain the stress of it.
People talk about the inevitability of death and taxes. I really think lost data needs to be added to that.
I agree.
Yeah. Yes. Amended third item.
Yes. Yeah. You will lose data unless you're paranoid to this level. Even if you're paranoid to this level, it's probably still going to happen sometimes, but the chances are so low that you're going to lose everything that here and there you'll lose, you know, an hour or, you know, a day's worth of work. That is not the same thing as losing a decade worth of photos.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah. We haven't even touched on the whole analog to digital divide. So what are the physical pieces of paper, other items in your house that need to become digitized and then backed up? That's probably a whole another episode and conversation.
Oh yeah. We could definitely do a podcast simply on digitization of your analog data. And then bringing it into this kind of world where you do have three copies. And I have an aunt and uncle in Oregon, way out in the country. They have a beautiful piece of land. And they have five or six kids constantly on the road. They'll spend a month with each of their kids and hang out with the grandkids. And they were away on an extended tour. And there was a forest fire swept through, burnt every bit of their land to bits. And they didn't even realize it till they got home about a month or two later. And they lost every single bit of historical family photos, everything. It's all gone.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Shrop, I know you had some additional kind of thoughts on this topic as well.
No, I think I'm good.
All right.
Perfect.
So we've crushed it.
We've just about crushed it. I think that's about time for this episode. Any parting thoughts, fellas?
Hurry. Run.
Now.
Don't walk. Don't think about it. Hurry to your local hardware provider, Best Buy, or whoever it might be, and get a couple of backup drives if you aren't doing any of this already. Do it today. Don't waste any time. Get right on it.
Easy as falling over to set up Time Machine in OS X.
And, yes.
I mean, just that alone is a big first step.
Yes.
So, all right. I think that's it for now. We'll catch you guys next week.
Excellent. Great. Thanks.
And I was starting to bring the freaking mood up with a little life, little lessons. You're like, no, it was terrible. There were kittens killed and.